This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. You know, there's nothing in the Federalist Papers about Twitter, but the microblogging platform has certainly helped define Donald Trump's presidency. Nevertheless, last week, in response to Trump's justification for his Paris climate change agreement decision, a Twitter user responded, quote, "Greetings from Pittsburgh, sir," and then asked sarcastically, "Why didn't you attend your hashtag Pittsburgh not Paris rally in D.C., sir? Hashtag fake leader." Trump blocked this user with Twitter tools available to anyone. This week, though, free speech advocates representing Twitter users who have been blocked sent an open letter to President Trump. They argue that blocking those users is a violation of the U.S. Constitution. Katie Fallow is one of those advocates representing Trump-blocked users, a senior attorney at the Knight First Amendment Institute at Columbia University. Welcome to The Takeaway.
Hi, John.
So is this letter it's not a lawsuit, or you're not filing anything against the president at this point?
Correct. It's akin to a demand letter where we are asking the president to stop unblocking users based on their viewpoint. And if the government doesn't take action, then we would explore the possibility of litigation.
Can't Twitter just unblock them?
No, this is not a lawsuit against Twitter. This is asking the government, and it's directed at the way that the president uses his Twitter account. So we wouldn't necessarily have any jurisdiction over Twitter, and also this is not aimed at Twitter. It's the way that the president or any public official uses their Twitter account.
You are saying that the way the president has used Twitter would be different from me attempting to block somebody.
Absolutely.
Why is that?
Because he's a public official and he's using it for his public duties. He uses it to express his thoughts on policies, to announce important policy decisions, like when he announced the new director of the FBI yesterday, and to engage with the public in a very lively debate with his tens of millions of followers. And as Sean Spicer said yesterday, his tweets are statements of official policy.
But nothing about the U.S. Constitution or this Twitter blocking would prevent this user that you represent and the other users you represent from, you know, taking out an ad in a newspaper or buying a billboard that would say the exact same thing, or in fact, writing a letter to the editor in any other way, expressing their speech in exactly the same words, right?
That's true. This impacts their speech on Twitter, and it both prevents the blocked user from seeing the president's tweets and also prevents that user from participating in the comment threads in which all of the Twitter users, the members of the public, discuss the policies. I think the sort of the best analogy here is a city council meeting that has a part of it open for audience participation. And sure, you know, the courts have long held that that audience participation part is what they call a designated public forum, and you can't tell people that they can't speak there or they don't have a right to speak there because of their views.
Where do you think we're headed in this Twitter universe regarding the First Amendment?
I think it's very important that every time a new form of communicating comes about, that we have to remember the way to apply these basic First Amendment principles. Although this is a demand letter to President Trump, this would apply to any government official or government body that uses a social media account for the purpose of conducting government business and allows for public participation. There are instances around the country of, for instance, city council members having a Facebook page and not allowing certain people to post comments because of their viewpoints. We're not saying that you can't establish reasonable time, place, and manner restrictions, but you just can't suppress speech because it's critical.
Katie Fallow is a senior attorney at the Knight First Amendment Institute at Columbia University. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
NYC Now delivers the most up-to-date local news from WNYC and Gothamist every morning, midday, and evening. With three updates a day, listeners get breaking news, top headlines, and in-depth coverage from across New York City. By sponsoring programming like NYC Now, you'll reach our community of dedicated listeners with premium messaging in an uncluttered audio experience. Visit sponsorship.wnyc.org to get in touch and find out more.